Welcome to the PLAN Type 052 Charlie ship brief. All right, so this ship is very significant in the history of the Chinese Navy. The ship has been referred to as the Chinese Aegis. This is their entrance into the world of fleet protection, fleet command, if you will, command and control in the modern era. So the main difference between this Charlie and the 052 Bravo is the significantly upgraded ASA radar that was developed by Nanjing Research Institute of Electronic Technology. And it is based on the American radar and some of the radars that were coming out of the West, like France's radar as well. And they just tried to mimic what we were doing. And they were pretty successful at it. This radar is capable. It has long range. It can track multiple contacts across a wide frequency, which we'll get into. And adding command and control fleet command to a non-aircraft carrying, you know, or larger ship is significant here. So this destroyer, 7,000 tons, fully loaded, can coordinate an entire fleet. And that is the big difference that we're going to talk about today. And here's a picture of Hull 1. This is the Lanzhou, I believe is the proper pronunciation there. I'm getting better at my Chinese here. And it was Hull 170. So what's important here is they were made in two batches, the Charlies. There was two ships that were made, built practically parallel next to each other. And then they waited a couple of years. They made some improvements. And then they made a second batch, but it still falls under this class. And then we'll quickly talk about the second batch at the very end. But just know that there's not much difference between the two other than some minor improvements that we'll go over. But this is the ship we're focusing on today. The Type 052 Charlie. These were all built in Zhonan Shipyard in Shanghai, China. Just the same shipyard that was built in the Bravo series. Just know that the Charlies are built here as well. Same data points here as the last lecture, founded in 1865. This is an ancient, you know, shipyard that's been modernized, has been around for centuries at this point. Primarily builds civilian ships, but it does have a segregated portion that does nothing but military ships, and the two shall not meet. They don't mix and match. One side is, and the larger side is civilian, and the smaller, more condensed side builds a lot of warships, including the ones we're talking about today. Here's Hull 2. This is the Haikou, DDG 171, and it is exactly the same as Hull 1. These were the only two of Batch 1 that were built, and we're going to break these down by the numbers. Like I said, it's 7,000 tons. It's 155 meters long. So this is a long girl. She's 17 meters of beam and can go in excess of 32 knots. She has a 4,000 nautical mile range at 18 knots, which is significant. So she can get outside that first group of island chains. And that's going to become more and more important as we talk about this fleet. China needs to operate past on the eastern side of Taiwan, on the eastern side of the Philippines, and stay there and maintain forest protection in those regions. That's the goal. That's what we're working towards. We're not there quite yet with this, but this is a step in that direction. Crew is 220. She has two of the UGT Ukrainian 25,000 GTs in Batch 1. They made a copy, and this is the big difference between Batch 1 and Batch 2. They made a Chinese version of the Ukrainian UGT domestically built in China called the QC-280GT. And that is significant that they don't need to license or purchase this power plant from Ukraine anymore. This is back in 2005, we're talking here. So obviously not current events, but they knew that eventually they wanted to get away from dependence on any other country, including France, which that they've been dependent on for a long time, and America up until 1989. And they're just continuing that into the 21st century. They want to build their own ships with their own technology in their own shipyards using their own workers. And they're doing that with Batch 2. Batch 2 will come about a little bit later on. Their diesels are the diesels are not the same. The MTU 20 valve or 20 cylinder V956 TB92. That's the diesel that can run the propulsion and also does the hotel loads on board. So it's Kodag, or Kodag rather, combined diesel or or gas. Has two shafts, five blades CCP, which means that it's controllable pitch propeller, CPP. On the weapon side, this is a huge difference. This thing has got weapons all over it. And because it is a fleet command ship, it participates, you know, it's ready and able to participate in any long-range fight. The primary weapon of this destroyer is the HHQ-9 surface-to-air missile. It's a very long-range surface-to-air missile based on the Russian S-300 Fort, which is on the Slava class. So, but this is a Chinese version of it, and they put 48 of these on that. And unlike other VLS systems like in the West, these are dedicated surface-to-air missiles with this specific kind of missile. They haven't quite got to the point where they can take a VLS and put a Tomahawk or a Harpoon or some other missile in it. These are strictly surface-to-air missile silos. On the bow, they have a 100-millimeter naval gun. That's the same gun as the previous 052. The Type 730 Seawiz protects it. There's one forward, one aft. And the big anti-ship missile, the YJ-62, greatly increases its capability over its previous variant. And they carry eight of those. These are very long-range, subsonic, surface-to-surface anti-ship missiles. She has six torpedo tubes, you know, three on each side in that little triangle shape. She also has multiple decoy rockets and a helicopter hangar that she can stick a helicopter in. She can operate Russian helicopters, and they did originally in 2005. They had the Ka-28, I believe it was the Helix. But now they operate the Z-9, which you see here in the picture up there, which is a copy of a French helicopter. So the radars, we're going to break these down for you, but just to list them here, we have the Type 346. So whenever you see H/L and then the number, commonly spoken, that's just called type. So I did the printed version for you here, H/LJG346. But whenever you talk about it, it's called the Type 346. So Type 346 ASA radar, that's the big Aegis radar, can go out hundreds of miles and, you know, shoot down airplanes. Also detect surface ships, multi-beam, you know, can track multiple targets. Also with that is the Type 517 Bravo air search radar, very long range, like 300 kilometers, something nuts. She has the Type 364 over-the-horizon surface search radar, the Type 344 fire control radar for the gun, the Type 349 Seawiz. That's the little radar on the Seawiz. I even added that. She does have the Type 9 Hull active-passive sonar. We don't have any data on that. China's very close-lipped about what that is, so we won't be going into that, or the ESM and ECM suites. That is the Type 726 ECM. So here's a picture of it, broadside. You can see up front, we have the 100-millimeter gun. Right behind that are six sextuplet surface-to-air missile VLS launchers. And each one of those has its own hatch. It does not need to rotate like the Russian SF-300 Foxtrot does. So they can launch a little bit faster than even the Slava can, because there isn't that mechanical delay of rotating the revolver-like system on the Slava class. This one, they open the hatch, they cold fire the missile, which means it's just pneumatically ejected with air. And once it's above the ship, the rocket motor kicks in and throws the missile downrange. Behind that is one Seawiz right in front of the bridge. If you go aft of the stacks and the superstructure, we'll see the surface-to-surface missile launchers. Instead of being box launchers, these are round, but they're positioned topside. Vertical launch system above the helicopter hangar. It takes up almost half the hangar, so they only have space for one helicopter on this platform. So it's the same system as on the bow, except instead of having six sextuplet launchers, they have two, for a total of 12 missiles in the aft battery. And right behind that, above the hangar, mounted facing aft, is the second of two Seawizes, the Type 730 Seawiz. So they have good point defense, they have good long-range air defense, and good anti-ship capability with these subsonic weapons. Here are the engines that they use. This is the Ukrainian UGT 2500 gas turbine. Makes about 26 megawatts. This number fluctuates between sources. I put the megawatts here for the Chinese version, which is a little bit less than the Ukrainian version. So just know that whenever the Chinese copied this, they didn't get the efficiency that the Ukrainians had. But they didn't have to depend on the Ukrainians anymore, so it's good enough. And that sometimes that's what they're looking for. Good enough. And the diesels are the MTU V20, you know, V956, TB92. All those numbers mean something, but what it means to us is it can generate 4,900 kilowatts at a 1,500 RPM. So set your sonar systems to look for 1,500 RPM because these run at a constant RPM. The load may change. They may change speeds. They may change the electrical bus may need more power, less power. The RPM of the diesel stays the same. HHQ9A, this is, like I said, similar to the SF-300F, is actually based on that. The actual missile is the launching system's a little bit different. Iowa State in 2004 has over a 100-kilometer range used for fleet defense, sextuplet launchers, 36 forward, 12 aft, for a total of 48 of these missiles. They have to pull in to reload these. So they put a lot on it so that she could stay at sea, stay in the fight, even after initial engagement. Here you can see what I mean by a cold launch. On the left, you can see the missile above the deck, approximately 15 feet or so. And all that gas that's around it, that's the pneumatic launch system. That literally just pushed the missile out vertically. And the moment the missile stops rising is when that rocket motor kicks in. There's a little sensor in there that says, oh, not going up anymore. Fires instantly to keep it falling back onto the ship. And I put a picture there on the right showing you the aft sextuplet launchers as well. It's kind of hard to see, but it's the best photo I had there. All right, let's take a look at this naval gun. Same naval gun as we had last time, based on the French design, 100-millimeter naval gun. Computer-controlled, IOC 1982, 90 rounds per minute. Has all sorts of different settings. It can fire two rounds at a time, three rounds, and then stop. You know, all the way up to six-round burst and then stop. It suffers from the same problems as it had before. They have not fixed the jamming on this. They're going to end up inventing a whole new gun because this thing, their copy of the French gun is even more unreliable than the French gun is. Here's the YJ-62 launchers. Like I said, they are round, but technically not called box launchers because they're not boxy, but they are external launchers. They're not below the deck. And they're just big round tubes. Four facing port, four facing starboard, but they're bundled together topside. These IOC'd in 2005. They are subsonic. 400-kilometer range, though. This is a long-range missile, and it carries a significant warhead, 4- and 10-pound warhead that's semi-armor-piercing high explosive. That will get the job done. You know, it's going to set a ship on fire, whatever ship it hits, and let the fire burn the ship down. And it does use Beidou GPS, which is the Chinese version of GPS. It's probably pronounced different, but it's spelled Beidou, and I think that sounds cool, so I'm going to call it Beidou. So Beidou, spelled B-E-I-D-O-U for those listening to this, is the Chinese GPS that it uses. It also uses the American GPS, but it knows in a fight with the United States, that's going to be encrypted, so they can't rely on that. But it also has internal navigation, INS, to keep it from spiraling out of control and into the water. It can do mid-course correction, just like the Harpoon. Think of it as like an extended range Harpoon. Yeah, that's how I would describe this missile. All right, the Type 730 Seawiz, IOC'd in 2003. This is the same one that they're going to have on all their ships of this era, early 2000s. 640-round magazine, completely autonomous, doesn't depend on any ship systems to operate. Once it's put in, you know, kill mode, if it sees something, it shoots it. You know, it does have an anti-surface mode, I should point out, but it's primarily for air point defense against missiles and low-flying aircraft. They're coming too close. About a 3-kilometer range for these rounds. All right, so here's some a close-up of this ASA radar, this Type 346. NATO name is Dragon Eye, or I should say the American name, but we'll call it NATO designation Dragon Eye. The operating range of this is 3 to 3.4 kilohertz. 3 to 3.4 gigahertz, because it's a radar, and 5.25 to 5.95 gigahertz. Like I said, it has two different radar ranges, and it can designate multiple contacts inside those ranges. So it searches with a frequency, it tracks with a different frequency, and it can track lots of different contacts in those frequency ranges, designating a specific frequency to each detection. And that's the beautiful thing of Aegis. This was groundbreaking technology in the 1970s. It was off the chain whenever we developed this in the United States. And now the Chinese have a version of it. It can see out to about 150 nautical miles, and it is a wholly digital system. The Type 344 fire control radar, you see circled there, simply line of sight fire control radar for the bow gun. So anywhere the bow gun points, that radar can pivot and point to give range information, speed, so it can do a proper calculation of lead time for the shell and all that. That is the Type 344 fire control radar mounted above the bridge. The Type 364 OTH radar, NATO name is Seagull, is a surface search radar, and this is an over-the-horizon radar. The surface and air detection, but it's primarily a surface search. I couldn't find any reasonable data on this. I saw a lot of numbers that were really high, some that were obviously not right. So I'm just going to say, as far as ranges go, we don't know. China's not being honest with that on any of their websites. Surprise, surprise. All right, the Mineral ME, that's also commonly called Bandstand. Bandstand was on the previous units of this class as well. Does weapons control and data link for that surface-to-surface missile, the YJ-62, giving targeting information as the missile flies through the air. And that communicates in the India band. So that's the band you want to be looking for. If you think you're under attack, you might be seeing some India band along with other radars coming at you in your vicinity. Knife Rest. Knife Rest is the large radar that is near the stacks just after the superstructure. As the Type 517 Bravo, the Bravo version's on this ship. It operates in the VHF band and has a very long range. It's 300-kilometer early warning radar. Type 349 SeaWiz radar, IOC'd in 2003. This gun has, 5,800 rounds per minute, 3-kilometer range, but there's a picture of the radar right above the gun dish focusing forward. I should point out, next to the radar, that is the optical sensor. This gun can be optically controlled with a joystick in the CIC area. So very good point defense gun, rotary style, very similar to the Phalanx in the United States or the Goalkeeper in the UK Navy, Royal Navy. And it is completely autonomous, like I said. So all these systems are on both batches, the one exception being the change in the engine room. The batch 2 has the Chinese version of that gas turbine. So they made two ships with the Ukrainian engine, the Lazu and the Haku. And then they created four more, DDG 150 through 153. And they operate in different navies. China has a South Sea Navy, and they have an Eastern China Sea Navy, Northern Fleet. And that's where the four batch 2 ones operate. They're all up there operating near Shanghai, patrolling the East China Sea typically. And batch 1 is down in the south, around the South China Sea area. So it kind of gives you an idea of how they operate. And because they have different maintenance requirements for that propulsion system, it makes sense that they would be home ported together and separately. Together being the batch 1 together, batch 2 together, but the batches themselves are separate. Here's a picture of that engine that they copied. You can see the Chinese officer there, very proud of his Ukrainian engine that he calls the QC-280. It powers all sorts of ships now. We're eventually going to get to the Type 055 destroyer. That's the really new one that's going to be exciting to talk about. This engine powers that as well. So they're very proud of this. It is... it's not quite as efficient as the Ukrainian one, in my opinion, but it works, and that's really all that matters. They also put this engine to power the conventional Type 011 aircraft carrier, and we'll probably eventually get to that ship brief as well. But I thought you might like to see what it looks like on board the ship. Remember, four hulls of Batch 2 are the ones using this engine. All right, final thoughts. Man, this was a huge step forward for the Chinese Navy, the PLAN. These were built over a 10-year period from 2005, and then they took a little break, a couple years off, and they built four more all the way out to 2015, total of six ships. And this is a significant increase in capability as far as fleet control, command and control. That's very important, talking about communications and data links, sharing of target information, and it has very long-range air search radar and can defend the fleet. This is really the first fleet defense destroyer in the modern PLAN Navy. Ironically, whenever this ship came out, to little fanfare here in the West, there wasn't a lot of reaction publicly. I'm not privy to any information about how the Pentagon reacted privately, but as far as any public statements or changes in policies, there is no record of that anywhere. So it seems like this kind of fell under the radar, literally, whenever they built this. I don't think the United States understood the significance of this ship. You could attest that to maybe it not being the same because it carried the same name. You know, it's still a Type 052, but instead of a Bravo, this one's a Charlie. And I think that was a mistake. The reason why they did that was because of the propulsion system, the prime mover, we call it in naval circles, is the same. And prime mover is what dictates the class of ship above everything else. But the capabilities of this ship are so far and beyond what the Type 052 Bravo has. It's really intense and impressive. And this will be the foundation for the Delta. The Delta we're talking about next will continue to improve on this design. But this really is the first one that the United States Navy should have taken a longer look at, because this one is very similar in capability to our early Burks, like maybe the Flight Ones or maybe the early Ticonderogas without all that firepower, but the same, you know, sensor suites. And keep in mind, this is the time frame whenever the United States is involved in two land wars, you know, Iraq and Afghanistan, and we're building Global Hawks and precision strike missiles that can hit cave entrances, and then we pat ourselves on the back for blowing up goat farmers, you know, and we're building in the Navy the Zumwalt and the LCS class. We are not paying attention to the PLAN enough. You know, maybe, I'm sure some department in the Pentagon probably was, but the people that make the decisions were not. And we're paying the price now because they have moved on from this, which we'll talk about next time. All right. Hey, thanks to all the patrons out there. I really do appreciate it. Scott Borg, Fraser Disney, Harpoon Henry, William R. Collier, Alexander Huff, Brennan Ferry, Joel Cornett, DGS 4000, Jordan Vazraka, Josh Warwick, Robbie Stahl, and Sean O'Neill. You guys are the best. All right. We'll see you in the next one. Thanks for watching, everybody. Bye.